in a small town, an Adventist church member decides to run for mayor. As a part of his campaign, he contacts the Bible teacher at the Adventist school and requests an opportunity to talk to the students. The teacher agrees. Speaking at an assembly, the church member tells the group that one of his top priorities, if elected, will be to build a ballpark for the town, and that if they would like to have that facility, they should ask their parents to vote for him. He then hands out copies of his campaign flyer and asks the students to give them to their parents. The teacher follows up by promising the students that if they become involved in the campaign in some way, beyond simply taking the flyer home, that they will earn extra credit toward their grade. Quite a number of students are eager to get involved. A Christian educator is not someone who is a teacher and also, incidentally, a Christian, but rather one who is authentically Christian in all aspects of life, including his or her role as an educator. Given this commitment, how should Christian teachers approach politics? How do they balance, for example, the goal of preparing knowledgeable citizens without hijacking instructional time to advocate pet political ideas? How do they help students become sensitive to and perhaps actively involved in socio-political issues without promoting a partisan agenda? Perhaps most importantly, how do they recognize the lordship of Christ in all aspects of their lives, including their relationship to politics? In order for a student to think Christianly about politics, he or she must form a Christian worldview. At the heart of this worldview is an understanding of the great controversy between good and evil, which plays out in every facet of life, including politics. Another core ingredient is an awareness of the sovereignty of God, which acknowledges that God is ultimately in control of everything, including earthly governments. A third element is recognition of the all-encompassing lordship of Christ. This implies that Christians must not create false dichotomies in their lives, segmenting activities into spiritual and secular realms. Rather, Christians must see their entire experience in relationship to God and seek to glorify Him in every dimension of their lives. How is this Christian perspective developed? Through both observation and reflection, as well as through conversation and experience. In the teacher's life, the student must see modeled the principle that the Christian is in the world, but not of the world. Through dialogue and life experiences, students should develop a framework of moral values that will enable them to address ethical issues, such as the equality of human beings and stewardship of the environment. Through thoughtful reflection, students must come to see their role as ambassadors for God, with vested authority and responsibility to establish positive relationships and influence decisions for the kingdom of heaven. Overall, they need to recognize that God, as Creator and Redeemer, claims their highest allegiance. How then do Adventist educators go about setting up conditions and experiences so that their students will view politics from a biblical perspective? How then do Adventist educators go about setting up conditions and experiences so that their students will view politics from a biblical perspective? Connections can be quite readily made in the social sciences, as well as in other areas of the curriculum. The social sciences, such as history, economics, and geography, can be fertile terrain for students to explore political issues. As a point of departure, they should learn that it was God who established the foundations of civil government. For background, they can examine the laws of the Mosaic system found in the books of Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, and compare them with current legislation. They might explore, as case studies, the lives of biblical individuals, such as Joseph, Moses, Daniel, Nehemiah, and Esther, who were directly involved in government, as well as scriptural principles that clarify the Christian's relation with politics. Students could also consider the historic and current Seventh-day Adventist views on government and politics, including pertinent statements by Ellen White. As teachers seek to inculcate a Christian perspective on politics, they must help their students understand its opportunities for witness, for religious liberty, for making a difference in the lives of others, as well as its dangers of compromising principle, of corrupting values, and of consuming inordinate amounts of time and money. Specific areas that could be addressed in the social sciences include the following. First, patriotism. This includes having pride in one's country and expressing loyalty to one's heritage, while avoiding a militant nationalism that ignores the brotherhood of all humanity. It also includes recognizing national heroes, particularly those unsung and perhaps forgotten. Second, the critique of government. This involves holding civil leaders accountable, speaking out against unjust legislation, immorality, corruption, nepotism, armed invasion of other nations, and unfulfilled promises. Third, civil disobedience. This could include understanding what civil disobedience is and what it is not, particularly by examining historic and contemporary examples. By recognizing different types of civil disobedience, such as activist versus pacifist, and situations where these may be appropriate, as well as clarifying the difference between respect for and blind obedience to authority. Fourth, the matter of voting. This involves becoming informed on issues, positions, and platforms. On voting regarding moral issues or personal qualifications and position of the candidate, and not merely for a certain political party, as well as respecting the personal and private nature of the ballot. Fifth, partisan involvement. This includes understanding that partisan identification by the church and its leaders is restricted, and that party alignment on the personal level must be cautious and conditional. And sixth, holding political office. This involves analyzing one's motive for seeking office, whether power, prestige, and self-service, or seeking to address injustices and enhance the well-being of others, as well as an understanding of the various types of office, for example, elective versus appointive, and evaluating the appropriateness of a particular political office for the Christian. Certain class activities can further contribute to a student's Christian understanding of politics. This might include discussing one's rights as a citizen, including when it may be necessary to stand up for the rights of others or of oneself. It could involve providing opportunities for students to hear multiple political perspectives, such as from the various candidates running for a specific office. students can debate public policy, perhaps on such controversial issues as globalization, immigration policies, exploitation of natural resources, waste disposal, foreign aid and national debt, lobbying, conflicts of interest, spying and sabotage, justification for war, and the use of chemical, biological, or nuclear weapons. A class might also explore how to make a positive difference as a Christian in relating to a variety of socio-political dilemmas, such as racism, sexism, religious intolerance, environmental contamination, endangered species, the homeless, and victims of war. Exploration and discussion can also lead to action. Students, for example, could evaluate various avenues for political action on a specific issue, such as writing petitions, speaking with elected representatives, voting for candidates who support moral issues, protesting through pen and voice, appealing to the courts, or becoming directly involved in government, and then draft a plan and put it into action. Examination of politics is not limited, of course, to the social sciences. Socio-political issues appear in a wide variety of disciplines. In science, topics such as global warming, stem cell research, birth control, animal rights, nuclear energy, waste recycling, and origins, such as intelligent design, are hotly debated within politics. In technology class, issues such as national security, the protection of privacy, intellectual property rights, software piracy, and computer fraud each have political dimensions. In language arts, the ability to speak and write persuasively, to prepare proposals and plans of action, to marshal evidence, and to evoke compassion are pertinent to political debate. In a literature class, students can become familiar with their national literary heritage and discuss literature that explores socio-political issues. Certain specific issues are directly linked to language, such as freedom of speech, defamation, derogatory labels, stereotypes, sensationalism, and eroticism, which frequently emerge in political debate, particularly concerning government oversight and regulation. Similarly, in the fine arts, students can become familiar with patriotic songs and national artists. They can debate controversial political topics, such as freedom of expression and the regulation of the media, the depiction of violence and nudity, and racial, gender, or religious stereotypes, as well as the commercializing and politicizing of the arts for propaganda purposes. In health courses, students can discuss the political ramifications of access to health care, the regulation of smoking in public places, and the recreational use of drugs. Exploration of topics such as hormone enhancement, antitrust legislation, and gender and racial discrimination in sports are particularly appropriate for physical education classes. In a religion or ethics class, students might examine religious liberty and the separation of church and state, as well as religious intolerance, cults and sects, cloning, abortion, stem cell research, and euthanasia, each of which can incorporate a political dimension. Regardless of the particular topic or subject area, however, certain course activities can help students to effectively engage in the political process throughout their lives. These include collaborative projects, where students develop skills in cooperation, conflict resolution, and compromise, without violating personal ethical principles. Teachers can foster positive attitudes that help students relate to others in a Christian manner, even when disagreeing over controversial issues. These include showing respect to those with whom one differs, recognizing the viability of alternative perspectives, and being open to further insight and understanding. It is also appropriate for students to become familiar with the Church's statements on climate change, human cloning, racism, birth control, and same-sex unions, for example, as well as those that focus on specific political events. These statements can serve as the basis for class discussion and can help students understand that the Church is proactive and speaks to socio-political issues and pressing needs within society. Students need to transfer learning from the classroom to the crucible of life. Through precept and model, teachers should encourage them to live as law-abiding citizens, paying honest taxes, for example, and respecting traffic regulations. They should also help students to become advocates of peace and agents of reconciliation. Thus, Christian teachers must make it a priority to teach mediation and peacemaking skills, as well as the nonviolent resolution of conflict. This may also imply the adoption of a pacifist worldview, as well as a position of non-resistance or of nonviolent resistance. Students must escape the grip of passivity, of feeling that one person can't accomplish anything, and become catalysts for social justice, seeking to redress wrongs, to address the imbalance of privilege, and to rectify violations of basic human rights. Christian teachers should encourage their students to speak out on moral issues such as abortion, gambling, pornography, and same-sex marriage, as well as to become advocates of equity for the poor, the disadvantaged, and ethnic minorities. In essence, educators should promote judicious involvement in social causes, protecting the vulnerable, providing a voice for the marginalized and neglected, helping the economically deprived, bringing hope to the rejected and exploited. They should help their students identify ways to overcome evil with good. Perhaps one of the best means to ensure that students develop a lifestyle of engagement is for teachers to create opportunities for service throughout the educational program and engage in service themselves, thereby encouraging students to develop a sense of community and the response of compassion. As in any dimension of life, certain aspects of the Christian educator's relationship with politics require caution. These include the following. First, use of instructional time. While course material must connect with students' lives and link to the real world, teachers must be careful not to use class time to interject political issues unrelated or only marginally relevant to the stated focus of the course. Students, as well as parents and the community at large, have a right to expect that instruction will focus on the scheduled topics without being commandeered by an instructor's opinions on global warming, immigration reform, a current war, or any number of other political or ideological issues. It is an abuse of professional duty for an educator to claim license to discuss his or her political views on whatever topic happens to be on the course syllabus that day. Furthermore, it is unethical to deliver to students academic opinions on topics outside of one's areas of expertise. And venting a personal opinion on unrelated topics is simply not an appropriate use of instructional time. A second matter. Political indoctrination. Even if a political issue is pertinent to the topic at hand, the educator must still be careful not to brainwash students into mindlessly accepting a particular viewpoint or ideology. Political indoctrination can occur when teachers dogmatically insist on the correctness of their position while refusing to present alternative perspectives or allow students the opportunity to contest their view. The Adventist teacher's function is not to dispense ready-made conclusions, but to train students to think for themselves. One way to do this is to present or provide access to materials that portray divergent views on contentious subjects, without denigration or innuendo. The teacher must never take unfair advantage of students' vulnerability or immaturity by intentionally presenting only one side of a political issue, and thus indoctrinating students exclusively with his or her own opinions before they have had an opportunity to examine other perspectives. In discussing controversial issues, educators can express personal opinions, provided that they are noted as such, and students are permitted to do the same. All this suggests the need for tolerance of students' religious, political, or socioeconomic views, and treating their opinions with courtesy and respect. Under no circumstance should a teacher ever harangue, belittle, or intimidate a student, particularly in the area of politics. A third matter, partisan involvement. While employed in teaching or administration, particularly in denominational schools, educators should avoid engaging in partisan politics. This activity would compromise the separation of church and state, risk the unity of the church, and limit teachers' ability to serve people of differing political persuasions. A fourth matter, sensitivity to context. Students in Adventist schools do not live in a social vacuum. They are connected to families and communities. Educators must consequently exercise sensitivity and wisdom when discussing unpopular views or sharing materials from sources opposed by students' families or by their religious or cultural affiliations. Parents particularly may be adamant in their desire to shelter their children from perspectives with which they do not agree. Here then are some ethical guidelines for dealing with politics in Adventist schools. First, teachers must avoid disparaging the leaders or members of any political party, even as a joke. Second, teachers must be cautious about encouraging students to campaign for a particular candidate, particularly by offering them an academic incentive. Third, the choice of a political candidate is a personal matter and should not be urged upon others. Fourth, teachers should never denigrate the political persuasions of other people, particularly students. And fifth, teachers should deal sensitively with controversial topics. Despite these cautions, teachers should not altogether avoid controversial topics, such as global warming, healthcare, or immigration policy, many of which involve moral imperatives. It does suggest, however, that teachers need to perceptively finesse their approach while ensuring that their students are well informed. One approach is to focus on general principles rather than delving into the sizzling specifics of a local issue. When discussing immigration, for example, in a community where sentiment against illegal immigration runs strong, students could examine the sympathetic treatment given to the foreigner in the Bible. This may inspire students to connect the dots in much the same way that Jesus' listeners did as they reflected on his parables. Another approach might be to help students understand, through their study of balanced factual information, that there are legitimate differences of opinion on certain subjects. In this context, it is particularly important that they learn how to evaluate sources for trustworthiness and credibility. In an impartial way, and perhaps removed a few degrees from the area of conflict, teachers can help students understand how language, photographs, and statistics can be used to confuse, mislead, or inflame public opinion regarding a product, person, or idea. The teacher might even illustrate how language in a survey can be used to predispose certain responses, thus skewing results. Yet another tack might be to help students understand that there is a difference between having personal convictions about the morality of an issue and trying to impose one's views on everyone else through laws and sanctions. Perhaps a concluding thought. When an orchestra interprets a work, three liberties are involved. The freedom of the instrumentalist to perform, the freedom of the conductor to interpret the work, and the freedom of the composer to hold certain expectations regarding the way the composition should be performed. Similarly, in an educational setting, there are three fundamental liberties: that of the student to learn, of the teacher to teach, and of the institution to fulfill its mission. As Adventist educators, we must remember that all rights carry corresponding responsibilities. Consequently, the academic freedom to address social-political matters, while crucial, must also be balanced with both the right of the student to learn within a focused and supportive context, and the right of the institution to maintain its philosophical integrity and to carry out its mission. In sum, the Christian educator has a holy calling, a divine commission to teach in the manner of Christ, to make a positive difference in the school and community, and to prepare candidates for the kingdom of God. Like every other topic, politics must fit within this biblical worldview.